Here at the north of the Sheldonian Theatre, which is the main assembly hall of Oxford University, you are being gawked at by the Sheldonian heads with their witty looks. They seem to stare and contemplate with open mouths, maybe even talking to each other. You may have heard of the game Chinese Whispers. One person starts whispering a message to somebody else, who then whispers it to the next person, and so on, until the last person has to say what they hear aloud. Usually, it is only a fraction of the original message. In the same way, the materials that make up the Sheldonian heads and the conclusions we draw from them have been warped through time. Over the years, the heads have acquired many nicknames, such as the emperors or the Caesars, the philosophers, the apostles, the Herms and the Tyrants. The original documents of the building named them Termins, which is a reference to Terminus, the Roman god of boundaries. However, the true identity of these heads remains a mystery. My name is Katrin, and I'm a doctoral student within the field of architectural heritage conservation. Today I'm going to explain to you why the identity of the heads and the stone they are made of is important to us, and how such information affects the way in which we should preserve them. As conservation scientists, we are the keepers not only of heritage structures themselves, but also of their authenticity and character. The most obvious and notable characteristic of the heads is that they look funny. Why should that be? The truth is, we're not sure why they were made this way, and whether those witty expressions were intentional or not. But let's start from the beginning of the story. The set of heads that you're looking at is already the third generation of sculptures in this location, having been put in place only 40 years ago. The original set, however, was installed at the same time as the Sheldonian Theatre was completed in 1669. A local limestone was used, and the heads lasted for over 200 years. Then, during the Victorian era, in 1868, those were replaced by a second set of heads. The local stone used for them originated from the same geological area, but was quarried on the other side of the ridge. Its quality was inferior to that used for the first sets, so the second set of heads deteriorated rapidly. Not much can be said about the facial expressions of the second set of heads, as they were so badly deteriorated. In the 1970s, the university embarked on a project to preserve the second set of heads, but had only limited success, which finally resulted in the commissioning of a third set. Michael Black, a sculptor, was put in charge of creating a third set of heads. But what did he use as a template? It's said that he referred to an engraving from Logan from the 1680s, illustrating the first set, and merged it with the appearance of the Victorian set. He claims that the heads are not portraits, but should be enjoyed as a gallery of grotesques or history of beards. A look at the engraving shows a rather different expression of the heads, and it becomes clear that artistic freedom blended with the reproduction process. If you think of it in terms of those Chinese whispers, we find that the message is still there, even it's been modified to an extent. The limestone used to create the third set of heads was not local limestone, but one from the Lincolnshire area, about 130 kilometers north from here. It's called Clipsham limestone, is very durable, and is often used in Oxford as replacement stone. Although you won't see any missing noses or large cracks on the heads, if you look closely, you can begin to see some discoloration and biological growth, such as lichens, algae, and moss. But overall, the most recent set of heads is in a very good state of preservation, and we expect it to last for at least another century. The Sheldonian heads are here to stay.
You have reached the end of this stop. Now, cross Cat Street, under the Bridge of Sighs, onto New College Lane, which is stop B on the tour.